Your standing in what for nearly a century was the most substantial fort in North Carolina, partially completed by 1749. In 1775, you see high walls of thick timber all the way around, set in raised foundations along the edge that is still clearly visible near the modern streets. Those foundations are made of tapia or tabby, a cement hard concoction made from live oyster shells, sand, and lime. There are holes through the walls through which the fort's cannons stick. The largest likely face the water, which is the mouth of the Cape Fear River. The islands of today weren't there at the time, so the artillery had a clear shot at anything within range. As of 1769, the fort's artillery comprised 11 18-pounders, 16 9-pounders, and 23 half-pound swivel guns. The weights refer to the cannonballs each could fire. Along with a number of small arms and ammunition, the post still boasted a single drum, as it had as many as 3 years earlier, but the forlorn instrument was again, or still, in need of repair. Trees have probably been cut down up to a modern block away on the three land sides. Many are no doubt in the wall or buildings, but this also provides a clear field of fire against any invaders. Trying to justify his later actions to a British official, Martin describes the fort as a contemptible thing, fit neither for a place of arms nor an asylum for friends of government. This was unlikely. It received so expensive an update under Commandant John Colet just a few years earlier, the Provincial Assembly refused to reimburse him 90% of his costs. Look at the right front corner of the lawn where the streets meet. Sticking out from the basic square layout of the walls, nearly to the modern pier, is an embrasure, allowing cannon and gunfire sideways against attackers from land or sea. Each of the corners has these embrasures, creating what is called a star fort. See Colette's map on our page. A narrow platform for seeing or shooting over the top lines the back of the wall, at least on the front side, if not all the way around. Look to the right. Between the embrasures on each side of the fort are what looks like a moat, but is dry. Called a fosse, this is meant to serve as a killing zone, catch attackers in a crossfire from the embrasures. Davis Street to your right probably runs where the fosse was on that side. Another shorter wall might run between the embrasures at the front of each fosse. There is a wooden drawbridge across the Davis fosse from a gate to your right toward the modern house in the center of the block. Scottish traveler Janet Shaw, observing in 1775 from a ship as the captain came here to file his papers, said the fort does not appear quite so tremendous, though I see guns peeping through the sticks. If these are our fortresses and castles, no wonder the natives rebel, for I could take this fort with a regiment of Blackguard Edinburgh boys without any artillery but their own pop guns.
Turn toward the Fort Museum. Where the museum center now stands is, in 1775, a large log cabin serving as an officer's quarters. Overlapping the current site of the NC Maritime Museum to the left of it is a barracks building for the garrison. Between them, a smaller building, a magazine, stores ammunition and arms. The five members of Martin's Council of State, who didn't give up their posts when he left Newbern, meet here on Sunday, June 25. This group was like the modern governor's cabinet, but it was appointed by the king and also served as the equivalent of today's state senate. Together they issue calls for loyalist militia, offer commissions for officers, and petition the British for money for fort repairs. One result is a visit on Monday, July 3, from Alan MacDonald, married to the globally famous Flora MacDonald, who helped save a Scottish contender for the English throne from capture as a young woman. Alan is a respected leader in the region west of Cross Creek, now Fayetteville. He offers to create a force of the good and faithful Highlanders, who dominate that region. Learning this adds to the concerns of the committees of safety. To them, the fort is a beachhead for a likely British invasion. They issue their own calls for militia to march on the fort. Walk to the front edge by Front Street, then scroll to the next audio clip. This section of the street only dates to the 20th century.